Copen in Copenhagen. This is a podcast about hanging out in Copenhagen.
So genetically closer to a mushroom, but I don't know.
Hello and welcome to The Sick Show, Copenhagen on 97.7 FM. My name is Owen, and of course I'm with Marius.
Halli halloisa.
This is your modern guide to living in the city of Copenhagen, and we talk about Denmark too, and you know what, Scandinavia sometimes as well. Marius.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of these days I won't ask you this, but today I'm going to still do it. What's coming up on this show?
It's a good one.
Oh yeah?
Like last week was really good. This is also really good.
Really?
We're continuing.
We're continuing being good?
I don't know how we're doing it.
I don't know either.
Let me tell you what's up. We're going to kick it off with the classic news roundup. Got some interesting stories there. Then we have we were very fortunate to be invited to the historic music venue Vega to get a tour basically and have a fascinating talk I should say with DDC Kramer, head of communications, about sort of how Vega's been handling this whole coronavirus and their lockdown and the history of the venue and a look ahead. It's fascinating, Owen, because that's one of the big venues. But there are music going on, happening. Yes, I know.
Stop my coffee. What?
We have Bashir Billow on a phone interview. He has a band called Omi, and they have an up-and-coming lo-fi concert. So we're also speaking to him.
Nice. Lo-fi are back.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yes, lo-fi. The guys who do intimate gigs.
Yeah. In non-concert venues.
All right. So we're doing the mega venue to the micro venue.
Yeah.
Wow, we cover it all in this
show. We do. And you know what's also on the show?
What?
Hot tips.
What? Oh, but I thought it couldn't get any better. Marius. My goodness. All right, let's get into it. You're on Sick. News.
Shall I update you?
Yeah. The Copenhagen Post has gone to print. Newspaper's out. Brand new articles, brand new stories, headlines. Haven't looked at it yet. Tell me what I should be looking at.
Well, in Corona news, a new report from the health ministry concerning the infection rate in Denmark shows that the reopening is going well. Because you know it is a bit of a gamble. Nobody exactly knows how to sort of deal with this.
Is that? Like the political, the line, yeah, the stance to take.
I don't fucking know.
It's a bit of a gamble.
No, but you know there is some uncertainty within this, and then there's, you know, we've also seen different approaches in different countries, and what we can see with the reopening, and we're in phase three, I believe. No, if I'm not,
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Okay, very good. I think pretty sure we're in phase three. And the reopening is going well, but there has been a slight increase in the infection rate.
Oh.
From 0.7 to 1.0. These new numbers released in this report from the health ministry are, though, based on a smaller data set, which means that the estimate they're coming with has a degree of uncertainty to it because it's smaller numbers, which is a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to give people an idea, like an infection rate of 0.1 actually like means that 10 people will infect 10 more people altogether. And it's kind of the threshold.
Will infect 10 more.
Yeah.
So it's one for one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And this 1.0 infection rate is actually the threshold for whether the infection rate is increasing or decreasing.
Okay.
So it could be cause for some concern that it's now up that it's gone up, of course. But according to Jens Lundgren, professor in infection medicine at Rigshospitalet, we should take this in the light that the number of hospital admissions related to coronavirus is now so low that even a few admissions would increase the infection rate. And therefore, he believes it isn't cause for concern.
Okay, all right.
So if you see this, like there's been an increase, and you know there has been this talk about like phase two and all of this, and because we are opening up and you know mingling a lot more and going out, there is that possibility.
Yeah.
But he's yeah, Jens is
confident.
He's confident.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
thanks, Jens.
Also, there's been no corona-related death in Denmark in the last week, so that's also a good thing.
Always good.
More good news.
More good news.
Yes, straight from the Copenhagen Post. There's a milestone because researchers from the University of Copenhagen have researched. Have reached a milestone.
Researchers have researched recently. Reportedly, renowned reference to renegade master. Beep up to power to the people. I don't know. Sorry. I was on a.
That was one. What was that? Power to the people back once again. No, that's Chemical Brothers.
Is it?
Or is it?
Power to the people
back once again with the renegade master.
Power to the people.
It's called Red Alert. The song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No,
I'm all over the place.
I don't think it's Chemical Brothers.
No, it's that other British electronic duo. Where's your head at? Where's your head at?
Oh no, you're gonna kill
where's
me.
Where's your head?
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. That much is true.
Don't let them.
Fuck. Who is that?
Somewhat animal? No, I can't fucking remember.
I gotta Google it.
Don't let the walls close in on you.
Where's your head at? Basement Jacks.
Very good. We're gonna have to edit some of that.
Sorry. Anyway, researchers at Copenhagen University.
Yes, have reached a milestone in their work to develop a vaccine against the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Their vaccine has worked on mice, and clinical trials on humans are planned before the end of the year.
Whoa! Really?
Yeah. So it's there was a sort of people were saying like 9 months. It's gonna take a long time, a year, maybe two before we're gonna have a vaccine, and. Even though this is good news, they've spent the last 2 months testing this vaccine on mice, and they've seen that they produce a large amount of antibodies able to neutralize the coronavirus. It is different when we do it on humans, obviously. Yeah. We are somewhat close to mice, but there is a difference. Mm-hmm. So even though there's a lot of confidence...
Tails. We don't have tails. They have tails.
Yeah. Do you have any any other things that...
I'll get back to you.
Okay, cool. So some researchers are very confident that
whiskers.
Whiskers.
They have whiskers. We don't have whiskers. We're very different creatures.
Very different. We do have
whiskers.
I mean, what's the mustache? That's basically whiskers. I can sense when I don't rain use is it. Coming through my mustache. But okay.
Right.
Anyway, so it's it's positive, but still need to go into to human trials.
Yeah, okay.
So it's too early to tell, but at least some good news. And it's actually this test or this research has seen a significantly greater sort of effects than seen in other sort of vaccine developments by other research companies.
Okay.
So we're winning.
It's what at the end
that's
of the day.
That's what I'm saying.
Denmark first.
Denmark. Oh no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're winning on the research of a new vaccine or of a vaccine. So in general, really good positive things for coronavirus in Denmark.
Yeah,
that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. Oh. So go drink a beer. Now, we had Tanya on last week for a fascinating and really eye-opening conversation, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to all the people who gave us some really positive feedback, shared the episode, and listened in general.
Thank you so much. And yeah, there was quite a lot of shares, actually. That was really cool.
So thank you very much for that. As we talked about or mentioned, there was this Black Lives Matter protest last Sunday, and this was the second one. The first one had 2,000 people join, and this one in Copenhagen had over 15,000. So that's a nice increase.
Yeah.
And they all converged outside of the U.S. embassy in Istanbul, it all went sort of fairly well. There was no sort of... the only thing was... I think there was one police car that got some graffiti. But other than that, it was a very sort of...
That's pretty brazen.
Peaceful.
Graffiti a police car?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty brazen.
Yeah. I don't know if there was a... I doubt there was police in it.
In it, yeah. It was at a red light.
Yeah.
And he ran out.
Yeah. Want me to they clean your out. Windows?
Yeah.
But there was another protest that day.
Uh-huh. Oh, great, great. We're taking social responsibility. This is good. Okay,
not,
brilliant.
Not that fast.
Oh, what?
This was a humbler, though passionate crowd of would-be travelers and others strongly opposed to the coronavirus travel restrictions and border closures gathered also outside of Christians Bolt with the unchecked carry-on luggage in tow. So it's a bunch of Danes being like, can't go to my holiday destination.
Oh, Mallorca.
Yeah, I want to eat some pig in Mallorca and get shit-faced.
Was that what the chat was?
Yes, I don't know.
People actually brought down suitcases.
Yeah. It's a very Danish hygge protest, you could say, but it's just a little bit like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
There are fucking bigger things right now going happening.
On. Yeah. Yeah.
No one gives a shit about it. I can't go travel right now. What about my tan? Fuck off.
Wow. All right.
No, that really...
that irked you,
that
right?
That pissed me off.
Yeah, I can see that.
To be quite frank. I mean, sure, it's somewhat annoying we can't go traveling. But in the, grander scheme of things, what the fuck are you doing? Like, how is this important?
Okay.
That's so white privilege,
I
think.
This is ground your gears.
Yes. Other than that, it was nice to see that Danes came out.
There's
a lot of young people in it, which is only good because, we will probably be here a bit longer than...
Careful now.
I'm going to stop myself there.
Yeah.
But it was good to see people came out and supported this. Thanks for listening into the last week's podcast and sharing it.
Quite a special episode, I would think.
Certainly
it's going to be one I remember for out of everything we've done.
Certainly. Yeah. I have a final story, which is... also positive.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Where's all this good news coming from?
Partly from the Copenhagen Post.
Right, yeah. Okay.
There's a Facebook group called Danes Against Inger Støjberg. And we kind of briefly touched upon Inger Støjberg last week also with Tanya, who was the former Minister of Integration when Venstre was in the government. She introduced very, very stringent refugee laws that have yet to be sort of they haven't been pulled back or anything. But on the 30th of May, this Facebook group started, and it now has over 170,000 followers. And the Facebook group is called Danes Against Inger Støjberg.
Uh-huh.
So it's very much directed towards her, and she's also currently going through some legal battle in regards to sort of some of these stringent laws he's put in place. And I think we mentioned this last week, like even the EU has said like that some of these laws are sort of against the Geneva Convention, so the human rights of human rights basically. But it's nice to see that Danes are stepping up now. Let's all remember that even though we did one march or joined that one Facebook group or shared that one post, this requires educating ourselves constantly and our peers and sort of commitment to fighting this systemic racism. So let's keep up the good work.
Absolutely.
Dim the news.
Thank you for the news. Check out the Copenhagen Post going on print. It is out today, actually. You can pick it up at many a location.
Yeah.
Check out their Facebook page and their website as well. If you can't get to the print copy, it will be up online as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've clicked on the Copenhagen Post website and you're listening to us, hey, welcome.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Yeah.
So... this week we did something very, very special and very, very cool. We went to Vega.
Yeah.
And I'd say there's very few people listening to this who haven't heard of Vega, but if you haven't, it's probably the most famous music venue in Copenhagen.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
It has had some of the greatest names of all time play there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while we're still in the midst of, like you just gave us a list of good news article pieces, and we all think that we're on good tracks, there's a lot of stuff that still is very much up in the air and unknown.
Yeah.
And live music's one of them.
Yep.
We thought it would be an important moment to think about this like cultural hub in our city and just see how they're doing. So we contacted Vega, and they, Dita, the head of communications, was so kind not only to speak to us but to invite us to the theatre and give us an amazing insight and a really fantastic conversation to boot. Let's have a listen. We're standing outside Vega, but sadly there is no queue. There hasn't been here for some time. We're met by Dita Sikama.
English, please.
She's the head of communications for Vega. Okay. She takes us inside the maze that is the inner workings of this historic building. We're taking up flights of stairs that zigzag their way around the heart of the building. Each door has its own number to make sure you don't get lost along the way. Suddenly, passing through one of these numbered doors, we find ourselves in the middle of Storvega, the main concert hall. The only way we can tell, though, is by the change of the acoustics, because it's pitch black without the lights on. Then, the grand reveal.
That's great.
You've been here before, right? But then now you get the chance to actually be on stage.
Yeah. This is a place I never thought I'd stand.
No.
Yeah.
Now you share the experience with David Bowie and Amy Winehouse and Prince and other
people.
Prince was here?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen Prince here.
So,
Dita explains to us how it's been quite difficult for the last few months.
Exactly tomorrow, 3 months.
Really?
Three months?
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's never happened in the history of Vega.
No.
It's a bit tough times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You can tell that she's been affected by this.
No.
This place means a lot to her.
No, I think it's really sad at the moment. It's so empty here, and this house is not built for being empty.
Dita takes us up to the balcony, where you can really appreciate the beauty of the room we're in. And she takes a moment to explain the history of Vega to us.
The building, or the house, is from 56, and was everything is done by Wilhelm Lauritsen, the architect. The lighting, all the chairs, everything is designed for the house. And it was made for the union.
Worker union?
Yeah. As a congress hall, as a meeting place. At that time, people were living in small apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the heydays of the union. So they had like really the power to build a house with all amazing details. It worked as a people's house up until beginning of the 90s. And then no one was really interested at that time. There was only a library back.
Okay.
And then they were about to tear down and build a supermarket, like the biggest supermarket in Denmark.
No, really?
No.
Yeah.
God.
And then the artist Bjørn Nørgaard, famous Danish artist, he just loved this place.
Mm.
So he has called it how do you say that in English? The Sixtine Chapel of Istanbul.
Yeah, okay.
After this fantastic introduction, we sit down and talk about how Vega has been dealing with these difficult times.
Yeah, so Friday the 6th, we got this message that we had to, we couldn't have shows with more than 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we were in the midst of our high season. It's like 3 shows a day. We have 3 different concert halls here.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to change from 1 minute to the next how we kind of cope with this, because suddenly there was this saying that there's this coronavirus, they can't gather in big groups. And so the first 6 days, we tried to kind of sort out what to do. We have 1,600 people or 1,550 in this room. So we divided the shows, basically got the band to play 2 times in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And tried to manage to get all the ticket buyers to get to Vega in a new time. They could get to the early show or the late show.
Mm.
And it was quite amazing that the bands would actually do this, were willing to play 2 times in a row. That's it's quite a thing to do. For example, Simple Minds were playing their 14th anniversary show, and it's, I mean, they're old people playing two shows in a night. So that was, we kind of had 6 days of just chaos, and then this whole lockdown came, and yeah, then we've been locked down ever since. Mm-hmm. Actually, on the night that Mette Frederiksen announced this lockdown, it was we had again two shows. That was with the American band Big Thief, and they played one show, and then we had to quickly close down and cancel the next show. So people were showing up for that show, and
this is why you're still doing the two shows in
yeah,
one.
Okay. Yeah, we did that, and then people were showing up. It was cancelled, but then the amazing thing happened that the band was actually coming out to the street and played four or five songs just outside. And we have a beautiful video. It was actually a great song quality. Anyways, we've been closed ever since, and it's not that. It doesn't look like we can open up in the near future, because it's, now we can gather 50 people, but still we can't really, the capacities of our venue is not compatible with 50 people. This is not what we do. Our smallest venue is 200 people, and then you have to stand really close, so we can't accommodate those guidelines there is for making a concert with 50 people.
Are you still kind of in talks with artists that want to come here? Like, how do you keep it going while
it's closed
down?
Yeah, we have postponed a lot of the Danish shows into the fall, and we still really cross our fingers that this is going to happen. Still selling a lot of tickets. People really want to come and see live music. So that is the positive part, that we get all the signals that people are not scared of going to shows, but we can't really go through with them. Basically all international bands are not touring in Europe this fall.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you're a band and you want to come and play at Vega, the economy of live music is that you plan a full tour of Europe. If you're an American band, you have maybe 20 shows at different European venues to make a tour happen, actually, to be able to go through with it in a financial sustainable way. And right now it's just, I mean, maybe it's a little bit better in Denmark, Sweden, Norway, but the rest of Europe is still really complicated. Yeah. Yeah. So what we see is that basically all international bands are not touring this fall.
I personally had tickets to Papa Roach.
Yeah,
I was distraught. And, my teenage angst was ready to come out again.
But they will come. I mean, it's if you really want to look at the positive side of this, all bands are now having enough time to write good music.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They will
there's
going to
be
really,
a lot of new albums.
Yes, and next year I think we'll see a lot of bands touring. And
You're giving us a tour, you mentioned like the history of the building and that this was a union building at the beginning, and you use the term a building for the people or a house for the people. It very much feels like that's still what Vega is, even though it's a music venue. What do you think the cultural importance of a venue like this is to Copenhagen?
Well, we like to say that we are the most important venue for live music, and not only in Copenhagen, but Denmark. We've been here for almost 25 years. We opened in 96. And all bands basically have been through this building, all Danish bands, and it's for a lot of young bands, it's a goal to play at Vega, like if they can one day play in Store Vega, entering that stage, it's like they've made it. It's a quality stamp for a musician to play there. But it's also, for a lot of Copenhageners, it's a place where they often go to see live music. And we've been here for so long that people have so many good memories of concerts and great bands playing here, and also that we have a consistently quality programming here. That we try to really do our best to present what's relevant, what's new, what's there has to be quality into the programming. We never present cover bands, for example. Not that it's not good music, it's just not what we are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's also in our DNA that we have to be an international venue. Mm-hmm. So it's this place also have a legacy for basically being a great European venue for bands playing, and yeah, so I guess that's why you get that vibe when you're here, and also of course because of the interior. There's no places, maybe there are, but there, it's not many places where you are surrounded by wood, basically. Yeah, and it feels nice. It's the
equivalent.
Equivalent, yeah, exactly.
It's early.
To the classical, you also have like really, really nice surroundings for experiencing music. And there's a lot of places where when you go to indoor shows, it's like concrete, it's black walls, and nothing wrong with it, but I guess that you get another feeling when you're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people respond to it, maybe not consciously, but there is just another vibe in here because mm-hmm. there's woods on the floor, and it's really nice on the walls, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that idea about sort of the people's house and how it's been carried on to like a public concert venue now, and yeah, I feel like you can go into some concert venues and be a bit, it feels a bit cold, or it's too grand and too pretty and you feel like, I'm out of place here. Yeah. Like you feel kind of, it's a warm, and nice atmosphere here.
It's exactly, and then also, if you go to an arena show, mm-hmm. You will most likely be sitting mm-hmm. far away from the stage, or you will be in the back. Mm-hmm. So you will never feel that you get to experience the band mm-hmm. close on and intimate. Mm-hmm. And that is also really a big quality of this house, that even though we have 1,600 people in the main hall, you still feel that you're close to the band.
Yeah.
You can see...
Like we're up in the one of the highest points now, and it looks... It still looks intimate.
I mean, if you have good eyes, you can see their eyes.
No, but you also kind of said that goes the other way for the artist.
And a lot of the artists really appreciate that feeling that you can see the back row of the places where you sit, that you have this idea of being close to the audience also. It makes... I think it makes a good show. We've never done any research on what is this actually.
That's a specialty.
But I have noticed one thing, and that is when international bands are playing here, they often say that they often comment on the venue and on Vega. It's great to be in Vega. It's great to play here. This place is beautiful, whatever they say. But if you go to shows other places in Copenhagen, they often comment on the city, that it's great to be in Copenhagen. It's a great city. So I think that this place, it does something to the bands also.
Yeah. Is there any particular concert you like that sticks out for you? Any like a moment through your career here?
Oh, well, I've been coming here since I was a young kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen so many shows here, but I'm a big fan, personally, of Jack White, and mm-hmm. when he played here with Dead Weather.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was in 2009. That was a really great show. Mm. And also back in... I think that was 2007, The Killers were playing here. That was also mm-hmm. really awesome. That was a part of a big MTV thing going on in Copenhagen. But that was just, there was so much hype going on with that show, and it was a really great show. They were on the height of their career when they played here. Mm-hmm. But also recently, I mean, I've seen so many great shows. LCD Sound System played three nights in a row mm-hmm. 2 years ago here. Had like a residency here. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Mm. French band Gojira. I don't know. Maybe you know them? No.
I have that look about me, right?
If you like Cabarrot, maybe you will like them.
Now, let's just clarify. The 16-year-old in me likes Papa Roach.
Okay.
The 30-something-year-old is like, I remember Papa Roach.
Okay, yeah, no. But they're a French metal band.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They're amazing.
Yeah. I must check them out.
I've seen so many shows in here.
Yeah.
But what I also like about Vega is our small estate, Idealbar, mm-hmm. where we have a lot of emerging artists playing, both Danish and international artists. And it's a 200 capacity, so you get to be so close to the artist. Mm-hmm. And it's just a whole other feeling because it's, I don't know if I want to say it's more respectful, but when you have that smaller space, people behave in another way. Mm-hmm. And you can see amazing artists down there.
So saying that, sort of probably for the next year or so, it's not going to be any international artist, and hopefully when you
get to... I don't want to say a year, but I'll say this fall probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most likely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys approaching that in terms of then getting Danish acts?
What we do is we really try to book a lot of Danish acts, but we are still in the mid stuff. We don't really know if we can open at all, and that's kind of critical because we're not a governmental institution, and we of course get a little support, but it's not much of our whole economy. It's 6-7% of our whole economy comes from the National Cultural Foundation.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's actually not that much. So we really are dependent on having a lot of people coming through this house and seeing a lot of shows. And so we are kind of nervous on how this whole situation will work out the next month in the fall.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like that the outdoors event, it's safer to go there, and the health authorities are really concerned about the indoors. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. It's not my field, but it's what we can read, and I think we have basically the same information as everyone else has about this. So we just have to wait and see, and then hope that everything is going in the right direction, and there will be, I don't know. Yeah. We are looking into maybe doing a lot of shows where you have to sit down instead.
Yeah. Okay.
And tell people not to sing and not to scream and not to do anything and just behave. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We have a lot of work to do the next couple of months to sort this out. Yeah.
But I can imagine there's you like you're saying, people are still buying tickets. And I can imagine you're getting quite a lot of support. I think personally, I would think that live music is going to be, you know, one of the toughest things people are dealing with, not, you know, being able to experience right now.
A lot of and that's so heartwarming that there has been a lot of people just writing us on Facebook or on email. Is there anything we can do? Where should I donate? And it's amazing to get those messages, because it really feels that there are someone out there waiting for us, and we mean something to people, and it is a place that people are coming often to see music, and music is an important part of many people's lives. So I think you're right. It's and also because this whole festival summer has also been cancelled. I think people are fed up with the online streams. And nothing wrong with them, because it's of course this is what happened, but it also seems that it's kind of slowing down with those now that now we've seen our
yeah, the hype
streams.
Is done with that. Yeah. And
we've tried
can
it.
We, can we do something else? And of course, now in Copenhagen, when you can go out and have dinner and whatever you want to, you get some kind of entertainment, but it's still not the same. No.
Is that something you guys have considered doing, like outdoor events or anything like that?
Not outdoor events. No.
How do you see that happening?
No,
opening the windows.
It's a good question. It is. Usually we are actually, we have, I don't know if you've been to Roskilde Festival, but usually there's this backstage village. And we have a big bar down there. So we used to operate outside. But it's...
I apologize, Marius. That wasn't a silly question.
It's a good question.
But no, we're not going to do anything outside. But it's still... we have more than half of our staff is home without work. So it's also... Then we had to draw them back and pay their salary. So, yeah.
Okay. Do you see any major change within live music in general? Like with the years that you know... these kind of crazy events and the fact that you know, streaming music and selling albums isn't just not really making bands money anymore. What do you think the future of live music is?
That's a good question. Up until 3 months ago, I would have a complete answering a package for you. I think that the live music scene will change a lot the next years. Both in the whole the business setup behind the live music scene, I think that the companies, both the major companies, global companies, will be less risk willing and in who they send out on tour, how they pay the bands big fees to actually just start up a tour, because. I mean, everybody's just bleeding right now, so there will be no money, or there already there's no money in this whole industry.
Yeah.
And also, of course, this whole health situation around the live music is so different now. We've never seen anything like it, so it's it's untouched, what do you say?
Territory.
It's a completely new ground, and I think we have to reinvent ourselves, both in the indoors and the outdoors, of how you can make a safe experience for people who want to go to live shows. Safety has always been a question of crowd safety, with like, don't push too much, don't stand too close. There has to be. After there's been some big accidents both in Denmark and around the world, where the focus has been a lot on how to avoid these big crowds getting too close, and but I guess this thing is just changing a lot. Of course, the last years there's been a lot of focus on the terror part of it, of big gatherings. And especially on the indoor venues after Bataclan, we have changed a lot in how we operate. But I mean, this is still a thing you know how to handle. There's a procedure of taking care of this that is not, of course, it's not known, but you have like a whole regime of operating with the right. Governmental institution on how to handle this, but a pandemic virus is not something we really we have no cases on how to. I mean, last time there was a pandemic virus, it's 100 years ago, and there was no live music in our. So it's just a new situation, and I think it will be really, really interesting to see all the new solutions.
Yeah.
But we also have to move quickly because it's
moving quickly itself.
Yeah. I mean,
well, whatever it turns out to be, I'm certain that people will be flocking to the doors of Vega, whatever way you have them open, or what if we have to sit with our mouths shut for the. It's going to be strange not shouting, cheering.
And you don't maybe you want to have, but I can't imagine having a big crowd of people with face masks, like standing in front. Just pictures of this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
But maybe you can get used to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody wearing a bigger face mask.
Band merchandise will only be face masks.
Yeah.
So now
just
no
remind
more t-shirts.
You of that film you don't want to see.
Well, thank you so much for taking us in and giving
us a
tour.
Welcome.
And it's even in its silence, it's still like a breathtaking space.
To be here is
a little bit of an honor. You've given us a chance to be on a stage that it'll be a while before we're on again, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like rushing a gig or something.
So next time you're here, you can be, oh, I was up there.
Yeah.
I know how it is.
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by how in awe I was of that venue and how sort of, almost slightly emotional when she was talking about it. I was like, oh my God, yeah, it is sad this place is not like, because you can be like, oh, it's a big major venue, they'll be fine. But like they, of course, and she also like spoke to the fact that like they don't get a whole lot of funding from the municipality, so like they're reliant on sort of their audiences buying tickets. So
special, fantastic venue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Many good memories.
Definitely, everybody should keep an eye out, see what's happening with Vega, and hopefully not before long we can all go grab a beer and see some fantastic live music there. Mm.
But you can, Owen, because we have an interview coming up with Bashir Billow, who is the lead singer of the band Omni, sort of a very soulful, quite sort of ethereal, I would almost say. Some of the sounds are interesting, and perhaps a bit Nordic.
Yeah,
but we kind of talked to him about that. But they have an up-and-coming concert through Lo-Fi, who creates these small, intimate concerts in both private homes and sort of out on the streets also. So we talked to him about their new their up-and-coming event, their album, and sort of how it's been being an artist in these trying times.
So you guys have worked together for a few years now. You know each other quite well. And you've decided at this point to start actually working as the Omi duo and getting your music out there. You brought your first EP out in October last year. How's it been with launching a brand new project and then having the world around you somewhat collapse? How's that been as an artist?
It's been interesting, really interesting. because it's like your project, it's our project, but as soon as you throw it out in the world, people start putting words on what it is and try to make it their own and make comparisons as well, which is super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see the music in a new context when other people start to put words to it. So it's really been, really great. And it brings in a new energy.
So when you say putting words to it, do you mean like comparing it to different artists?
Yeah. Okay. Also, but it's, comparing it to different artists, but also like saying what people feel about it. Like you read blogs that say it sounds Nordic or it sounds crisp or it sounds complicated or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's just interesting to hear people's thoughts about the music, yeah.
Has that changed your guys' sort of view on your own project or?
Definitely, it brings in another perspective that we take into account, and we also just think about how to take it into account and if we should. But it's good energy, really, and it helps us with other work that we're doing, you know, with this energy. And because it is, that's a part of it. Like, you don't make music in a vacuum. You make music so people can receive it. And we want to hear what people's feedback is as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
You use the term Nordic. Is that a thing? You've been performing in Copenhagen and Denmark for over a decade. Is that something you identify with, like a Nordic sound?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. I have no idea. Like, really. I think, of course, like where you're from and the place you make music in, like the setting, of course, influences the output just as much as anything else, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there is something just to be said about like the Nordic sound, or I don't know what that is. I don't know. Like really, really, really.
Yeah.
Can you define the Nordic sound, please?
Yeah.
That's a Nordic soundbite, please.
Big
A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I don't know, but I think I can. But I see what people mean when like, and I use that term as well. Mm-hmm. I think I can relate to that when I listen to other music, and it feels like Nordic to me can be like pop or American type music, but with a twist where it's like, okay, it's like a misunderstood thing. If that makes sense at all, it's like a faster. Like a bastardized version of, but you can say that about any place outside of America.
I've listened to your stuff. It's on Spotify, and I was listening to it before the interview, and it's quite soulful and kind of like very easy to listen to. And you guys are playing a concert with Lo-Fi on the 9th of July, and that's going to be quite an intimate setting. Do you think that suits your style?
We've been playing a lot. Like the first concerts we played was just me and Jacob, like on him on acoustic guitar, me singing with a small keyboard. Mm-hmm. So the sound on the first concerts has been very low key.
Okay.
Compared to the recordings, which has been like, which is very produced, you know. But the concert we're playing with Lo-Fi, it's like a street session.
Yeah.
So it's like outdoors. We're playing with it's me singing, Jacob on guitar, and we have two other guys, Johan and Thomas, that play bass and keyboard. So it's a bigger setup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Normally played. It's gonna be higher energy than we usually.
Okay.
Played. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you foresee music and concerts going forward with these new rules and regulations due to Corona?
Yeah, I think like people are very conscious about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great, but people are also just craving something, you know, going out, and we're all for that.
Absolutely.
And of course, Lo-Fi is very conscious about the government's recommendations about keeping apart and having hand sanitizer and all those things available.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's something we're also very conscious about, because we don't want to be like we don't want people to be unhealthy and
yeah
and catching it at our concert. So
no, of course not.
That wouldn't be cool. Yeah.
So if you want to have a good time but a safe time, go check out Omi at on the 9th of July, isn't it? With Lo-Fi concert.
It's the 9th, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 9th of July.
And you can get tickets for that on their website at lofi.com. And if anyone wants to listen to your music, you're on Spotify, yes?
We're on Spotify or whichever streaming service you use. Yeah, we're available.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bashir from Omi, the Copenhagen duo, thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations for getting back on the concert scene. It's great to see live music coming again. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you very much to Bashir from Omi. They'll be playing a concert on the 9th of July. You can check out Lo-Fi for tickets and check out many other concerts they will be doing, keeping live music going in these trying times.
Yeah.
Marius,
Yeah.
I want to know, what should I be
doing? You're so demanding. You've been so demanding throughout this whole episode.
I am very
Tell
demanding.
Me the news. What are we doing today?
And I'm going to continue in that
Okay,
line.
Very good.
What are the things we should be doing in the week to come? Marius' hot tips. Hot tips.
Hot tips. Well, first up, Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah.
He's now Danish. He's Australian.
Yeah.
But he has an exhibition here in Copenhagen coming up.
Okay.
And it's called Stranger Than Kindness. It starts on the 8th of June. So that was 3 days ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago, yeah.
But it lasts all the way until the 13th of February.
Ah.
And it's at the Black Diamond. And this Nick Cave exhibition is a journey into the creative world of musician, storyteller, and cultural icon Nick Cave.
He's still like directing and stuff as well, hasn't he? I think he's directed movies.
Okay, director, musician, storyteller.
I just want to clarify. I don't want to get it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's Nick Cave we're talking about.
I get a call from Nick Cave. I'm not going to do an Australian accent.
Please do.
I can't for the life of me. Well, this exhibition brings together large-scale installations and original atmospheric soundscapes with more than 300 objects from Nick Cave's own collection.
Of...
Just his stuff, own collection.
Stuff in his house.
Of garden gnomes. I'd love if he had a garden gnome collection.
He might do, you never know. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah, Nick Cave's an interesting fellow.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I'm the reason I took this on because like a lot of people say, oh, Nick Cave, he's brilliant. I'm like, I know fuck all about him. I don't know what the hype is, really.
I
know that one song with the... And the rose with Kylie Minogue.
Call me the wild rose.
Remember that music video? But that's
guess because Kylie Minogue was in it.
Yeah, probably. That was a young impressionable boy.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. So, but I've heard so much positive stuff about Nick Cave, and yes, people say he's an icon and he's a genius and he's a so. I'm gonna go check this out to see what the fuss is about.
Tell me what his gnomes are like.
Yep, I will. That sounds dirty. And finally, not finally, that was the first one. Whew! Second up, Copenhagen Dining Week.
Oh?
Do you know what that is?
It was on last year as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay. It starts on the 15th to the 28th of June. And this is the biggest restaurant festival in Scandinavia. Take that, Norway. In Sweden, with a simple concept of gathering a number of restaurants, all offering a fixed price 3-course menu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Regardless of the restaurant and the time. 200 participating restaurants spread across 50 cities all over Denmark. And yeah, you can either get the 3-course for 250 or 10-course for 500.
50 cities all over Denmark?
Mm-hmm.
Denmark does not have 50 cities.
Oh, we do.
What?
There's a lot of small ones.
They're not cities. What's the definition of a city here?
Two people. Two people and a pond.
With over 50 ponds around Denmark.
I actually don't know. Yeah. But do we have more than 50 cities here?
Cities?
Yeah.
Like if I
what is Ireland? What?
How many cities we have?
Yeah.
We have like 5. And one of them we don't even count. Waterford City. Sorry, Waterford. You ain't a city. You're an exaggerated village. All right. You're. If I can run from one side to the other to catch a bus, it ain't a city. All right.
Okay. Fair enough.
But that's my no. But like in England, you have to have a cathedral to be a city. So there's like actual rules about city.
Yeah, folk. That's true. We must have something. Maybe it's just a church here. We don't have that many cathedrals.
No, I don't.
Like, I think we have 3. So, you know, that would be 3 cities.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I was going to start looking up what is a city in Denmark, but Google is not helping me. Anyway, third.
And final.
And final. Hot tip.
Yeah.
Well, this Omni concert through... Lo-Fi is on the 9th of July, but yeah, go check out Lo-Fi. They have so many interesting musicians coming to town, both from, I think, from abroad as well. But
yeah,
probably currently it's mostly Danish.
They definitely were putting on
They used to do that, probably a little bit different now.
Yeah.
But a lot of the It's not necessarily people singing in Danish. Hmm. So go check out Lo-Fi Concerts on Facebook and buy some tickets. Go get your music on.
Cool. Nice. Very music orientated episode.
Yes, it was.
I liked it. Yeah. And that's it. That's it for this episode.
Is it?
We're done with it.
Are we stopping now?
Finished.
Why?
I have nothing else to say.
That's right.
I'm out of words.
That's a good time to stop.
Thank you very much for listening. If you want to check out anything we've been talking about, check out the Facebook page. The Facebook page. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
You check out Copenhagen Post for all your news articles. That's just gone to print, so you can pick it up in all the regular locations you would find it. Mm. Give us a like. Check out iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah.
And
Tell a friend.
If you haven't checked out last week's episode, I would say check it out again. It was a very, very important piece we did. And
yeah.
Big thank you to Vega as well for this week. And we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.